Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
I have no idea what's more strange, that in 2017, we're all anticipating and then go nuts about a Jay-Z album. Again, 2017, Jay-Z, still. Or the fact that it's 1 o'clock today, and instead of on that side of the glass, the opposite one, instead, right next to me is Michael Fisher. He's usually over there producing the show. This time he's in the host chair.
This is the day you're dreading, wasn't it?
What's going on? So, yeah, I don't know which one is strange. I'll still go with Jay-Z releasing an album in 2017. This was just a matter of time until you get out from the side that JP is hanging out right now.
Well, it was just a matter of time until Jay-Z released his response, right?
Because Lemonade was the first shoe to drop in the saga that is the relationship between Jay-Z and Beyonce. And then
now we got our response.
Reply. See, they're married, though. They shouldn't have to beef in the public like that. This would be a happy relationship. The black power couple.
So they should be like LeBron and Kevin Durant and release rap albums just for each other to listen to?
Or that. LeBron, by the way, I'm still trying to figure out if he's a real hip-hop head or a fake hip-hop head. He's out here tweeting about 444.
He's fake. He has to. So he's just throwing out some very boring tweets.
Yeah, he's like
hyping him up.
Oh, this is gospel. This is testimony. Giving the game and a blueprint once again. Like, man, come on, LeBron. Like, I don't know if I buy it.
I don't buy it at all.
LeBron is the hip hop head of sports.
He didn't even write those tweets. I bet.
Ghostwriter. He's like
Ghostwriter. Yeah.
All right. That's probably a subtle slide at Drake because he says like you guys are actually real teachers of the game, and Drake is still known for being the rapper with the ghostwriter. Well, speaking of LeBron James, he quite often is a big figure this time of year, NBA free agency. Really, you could say the NBA season starts today at 10 o'clock Mountain Time because that's the time where free agency begins. And judging by how we consume news, articles get more clicks, get more shares about free agency than anything during the season. In fact, Darren Rovell tweeted out 652,000 per day, that's the amount of tweets during the regular season, 800,000 per day during the free agency cycle. So
it just makes me sad.
It just means that this is what we're here for. We're not here for the actual games. And the weird point we get to where the dream of having a good basketball team, the dream of, and it's the same thing in the NFL in a way, like it's becoming more popular, the free agency moves in February and March, and teams posturing themselves to try to get that leg up on whatever team is just coming off of the Super Bowl. For the NBA, it's everybody right now trying to catch the Golden State Warriors because they're seemingly so much better than everybody else. So teams have to get a little bit more creative. And this whole super team culture has created this spot in July, the NBA kind of owning the calendar. Now, I guess the first shoe to drop was your favorite team trying to sign your man's Jrue Holiday to, was it, $31 million per year?
Something dumb like that, yeah.
Yeah, $31 million per year. So it's dumb money. Dumb money going on right now.
It's a dumb month.
Dumb month.
Dumb
Why
month.
Is the month dumb?
Because free agency, it's the worst thing. It's not the worst thing to happen to sports. Unless you're a sports fan. Because you just said all the people get hyped, 200,000 more tweets a day during free agency. Just to lose just as many games with having all this anticipation. We'll start with you, Chris Lewis. You're 76ers, bunch of cat buddy. Are you excited, Kyle Lowry?
No, I ain't trying to get no Kyle Lowry no
this
more.
This proves my point. You don't want an all-star player to sign with your team.
Nah, because timeline. It's all about timeline. You got younger players. You don't need a 34-year-old point guard or 32-year-old. And if you sign him to a three-year deal, he's 35 years old.
When are you
going to
tell the rest of the NBA this?
It's timeline.
When are you going to tell the rest of the NBA?
Because
this happens. Kyle Lowry, what? What do you say? Number four? Number three in terms of free agent availability and star power?
Well, whether you go with who's on the trade block and who's a free agent.
Just
you
free agents.
All right, Gordon Hayward. He's the top. Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was.
Would you put Kyle Lowry third?
Kyle Lowry's in the group. He's in the top five.
So
for sure.
A top five free agent you don't want to sign on your team.
Timeline. It has to do
or
with.
Or because it doesn't work. Free agency does not produce championships, Chris Lewis.
Tell that to the Golden State Warriors who added on Kevin Durant to a team that won 73 games the year before.
And should have won a championship?
They got short.
Draymond Green was kicking people in the groin?
They came up short the year before. They added in a top five player in the NBA. Telling me free agency doesn't make a difference. Talk to me about the 2012 Miami Heat.
No. LeBron does not count for this discussion. When a man is worth 40 wins, by himself, he does not count because no other player will ever be as good as LeBron James for the foreseeable future.
LeBron single-handedly made the Cavaliers a contender.
Yes.
Ben single-handedly made them the worst team in basketball when he left. He went to Miami, joined Dwayne Wade, joined Chris Bosh, and they made four straight NBA finals. You're telling me that doesn't make a difference?
It doesn't count because how many players are ever going to be like, well, this guy's going to pull LeBron James and he's going to make my team 40 wins better?
Kevin Durant.
He would not. He made them worse. They lost wins for one more.
Ended up being the finals MVP next season.
No,
so you're telling me, like in basketball, which makes the free agency, to me, a lot more interesting than the NFL, unless the NFL had a way to get quarterbacks on the free agency market. There's never
until
any quarterbacks
become free agents, free agency in the NFL is pointless.
Exactly, because those are the real things that can affect the wins and losses from a one-person standpoint. So if the NFL ever got to the point where Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck, those guys are free agents, that's when it'll become very interesting.
Exactly.
But the NBA has that. Like,
with these
shorter contracts, at most, you can sign a 5-year deal, and that's only when you're with your current team. And a lot of the incentives in the current CBA make it more logical that these guys sign the 1 year with a player option the next year or 3-year deals to put themselves in an age range where they can get a bigger extension to follow. So you're getting bigger names on the free agency market. LeBron's been a free agent a couple of times in his prime. He'll be a free agent.
I don't count
next
the second
year.
One. We all knew he was going back to Cleveland.
No, we did not. We're waiting on July 4th just like everybody else to figure out exactly what we're waiting on that Lee Jenkins article.
Every single person knew he was going back to Cleveland.
We weren't sure about that.
We knew
that. Kevin Durant has reached free agency once in his prime. Russell Westbrook's scheduled to be a free agent next season. He is the reigning NBA MVP, as much as that pains me to say. I wouldn't have voted for him, but still, he became the most valuable player. You mentioned like Gordon Hayward this year is the top prize. This may be more analogous to the summer where LaMarcus Aldridge was the top target. LaMarcus Aldridge, it turned out that he might have been a little bit more expensive, a little bit overhyped considering the cycle. We
just
have
like
to build
every
out
other free agent
that one big
there?
Prize. But
who is
LeBron James is not somebody who's a victim of, like, he hasn't accomplished much. He's just a product of hype. Nah, this dude's been
to
every
that,
finals.
But besides LeBron James, everyone else a product of hype.
Kevin Durant is a team changer, MVP, top three player in basketball.
One extra game with him.
The NBA Finals Game 7.
They would have won Game 5.
They lost.
And they
should have
won Game 5 if Draymond Green didn't get suspended in the league. You know, maybe had some hush-hush, keep him out of Game 5 so we can turn this series around.
I can even go with a history lesson.
All right, give me the history lesson then.
I mean, how about Shaq?
2006?
In his prime. There's a couple of Shaq movements. The one to the Los Angeles Lakers, which launched their three-peat. When you have him and Kobe, that was a game-changing NBA shifting move. And then, after
Kobe?
His Lakers tenure, remember, he left as a free agent
to the Miami Heat. I will give you that one. That is the only team that I could find that won just off free agency.
I mean, nobody's going to win just off free agency. Number one, because you're not going to be attractive enough to attract these top guys. And this is Idaho Sports Talk. Michael Fisher in for Bob Beeler. You're not going to be able to attract the top guys by just saying, "Hey, free agency."
Well, that's what the Lakers do, right?
Well, you need to either be in Los Angeles, you need to either be in Miami, or you need to show a level of competence like the San Antonio Spurs, who are able to attract guys because of the culture of winning that's been established there already. Or, you know, Boston's not been a market that has been attracted to free agents before, but their, you know, Brad Stevens being there and their track record over the last few years of being a pretty good Eastern Conference team, like, that'll be attracted to some guys. So you can't, unless you're in Miami, unless you're in one of the Texas places because of the taxes, unless you're in Los Angeles, of course you can't just go, all right, we're going to hope for free agency. Because it's a low-odds game. There's 30 teams. There's typically one or two game changers every free agent cycle. So if you're able to win those battles and get the LeBrons on your team, and this cycle get Paul George and Gordon Hayward on your team.
Paul George is not a free agent.
Well, it's a trade chip, and this kind of all goes into this time of year. You'll see trades happen as well. As you heard Yahoo Sports' Adrian Wojnarowski report that he's trying to time the Celtics are trying to time it up where they can sign Gordon Hayward and immediately trade for Paul George. The idea of building a team, I think, is more attractive to the casual fan in a way than the actual game itself, because a step back three is difficult to hit. not many people can go out there to the courts and hit a step back three or spin around a 7-footer and have a Kyrie Irving spin on the basketball and have it go in. But everybody can manage a budget. I manage a budget when I go grocery shopping and have to manage my rent and everything that goes along with that. Everybody has the ability to manage a budget. And this time of year, that's the fascination. How to fit in all these guys, improve the team, but stay within the salary structure.
Improve in quotes.
LeBron James, him going to a team certainly helps improve them. It's time to tailgate with Gaze and Prater this Friday. That's today, 3 to 6, with a live edition of Idaho Sports Talk. If you're near Boise State today, watch the show, have a happy hour refreshment, and a big bite to eat. That's Gaze and Prater today at the Tailgate Sports Bar off Capitol at the entrance to Ann Morrison Park today, 3 to 6 on Sports Radio The Ticket. All right, speaking of Michael Fisher, crazy ideas that we always have to put up with every day. He always has some kind of theory. He has a way to fix one of the NFL's biggest problems. That's next on Sports Radio The Ticket. No Bob Beeler today. Michael Fisher in his spot, so he's not in his usual place behind the glass. That's where JP is. Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Free agency in the NBA has me hype. Yeah, I want to be one of those people.
What are you
who
hype
stands
for?
Up.
You don't even want your 76ers to sign.
No, I don't want them to sign anybody.
So what? Before we get into how I'm going to fix the NFL here, so what are you hyped about then?
I want to see where everybody ends up.
So
I'm
you're
a
hyped
fan
for
of the
every
league.
Other team except your own.
I want to make sure they're disciplined. I don't want Brian Colangelo out here wilding. You got this money to spend. It's like, you know, have you ever gotten to that point where you got a little bit of extra money?
Yes.
Where's the first place? Do you head straight home or do you make that detour to the mall when you got that extra little bit of money in your pocket?
I usually go straight home.
There you go. See, you need to teach Brian Colangelo. Go straight home. You don't need to stop at the mall. You don't need to go into all these stores and buy all these fancy clothes. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to get this jewelry. Just go home. Just buy some food. Food's a necessity. You need food to live. You don't need that fancy shirt. You don't need that new pair of kicks. Just go get some chicken on a discount.
What if they're the third nicest kicks in the market?
Nah, you know, don't worry about it.
Everyone will notice me.
Don't worry about the new Jordans. Speaking of Jordan, a little bit of a nugget about him later on in the show. But all right, you said the NFL's got a problem. And you have a way to solve this problem.
Yeah, so Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up. We'll hear the All-Stars announced over the weekend, if anyone even pays attention while NBA free agency is going on. It got me thinking. NBA All-Star Game, middle of the season. MLB All-Star Game, middle of the season. NHL All-Star Game with Snoop Dogg, middle of the season. Where's the NFL Pro Bowl? End of the year, right before the Super Bowl. And nobody watches it.
Not great timing.
So why isn't it in the middle of the year? I understand players could get hurt. We might even just go to flag football, which speaking of flag football, we're talking to the commissioner of the American Flag Football League coming up about an hour from now. Back to the real league. If I can guarantee you no one gets hurt in the Pro Bowl, let's move the Pro Bowl to week 10, add 2 weeks on to the regular season that week, and another week to play real games, give every team that week off, so every team has 2 bye weeks, boom. We just extended the season by a game, every team got 2 bye weeks, we can cut a week off training camp or off the preseason if you really want to, and everyone's happy.
All right, I'll hear you out on this. Couple of concerns. Number one, when you have the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season, that's only a sample size of what, 6 games that you're going to have to determine who the All-Stars are?
9 games. I said week 10.
All right, week 10. So you got 9 games, but you have to vote on them before that. The voting has to be finalized by at least week 8, right?
That's what we're doing in baseball, though. Basketball.
Yeah, you at least have a couple of weeks of notice of who's going to be the All-Stars, unless there's late changes and pullouts and everything. But yeah, you have a good idea who the starters are. You'll know that by the end of this week, and the All-Star game isn't for another couple of weeks. So you'll probably have to know who the All-Stars are by week 8. So that's just really 2 months of a sample size to determine who the best players are, which, okay, I'm willing to listen to. Now, number two, how can you guarantee that nobody gets hurt? Because you said, if I can guarantee you nobody gets hurt in the Pro Bowl, well, how are you going to guarantee me if the football game that nobody gets hurt? What are you going to do, turn the injury settings off? This ain't 2K. This ain't Madden. You can't turn the injury settings off. So how are you going to promise me that nobody gets hurt?
Well, they'll play about as much defense as they play in the NBA All-Star game.
Because everybody loves the NBA All-Star game, so you want to replicate that as much as possible.
Does anyone really like All-Star games? We're in it for one thing, right? The skills competitions before the All-Star game.
That's
the
true.
Home run derby, the 3-point contest, slam dunk contest, then whatever the NHL does. So as long as we have the skills competition during the week, no one cares what actually goes on in the Pro Bowl besides the fact that we don't have to watch the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl at this weird time on a Saturday. And we don't have to worry about our favorite player, Cincinnati Bengals fans, getting hurt in the Pro Bowl and then basically ruining his career.
Shouts out to Tyler Eifert there. Yeah. Okay, so you have this in the middle of the season event. Now, if I'm a head coach of an NFL team, the last thing I want is for in the middle of the season, my dudes to take a trip to Hawaii. My dudes to take a trip to wherever tropical location that you're having this Pro Bowl event is, because we're in the middle of the season. I can't let you be unsupervised for that long. I need you guys to be head buried in a playbook and doing everything you can to get better. I feel like maybe it's just because of precedent and what has been always there, always the case, the All-Star games after the season. It's almost like a way to relax after the year. I don't know if I'm a coach. If I'm a coach, I want my guys just taking a week off in the middle of the year to just go hang out in Hawaii.
No, it's already in Orlando now because no one wanted to go to Hawaii. We can rotate it. Do exactly what they do in the other three major sports. Put it at a current team's venue. And, you know, they call it a bye week. So maybe what, through Thursday you're studying film, looking back on what you've done for the first half of the season, let them go Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 3 days, just like baseball does, where they let their guys go for 3 days to whatever city they want to go to or go wherever you want, bring them back in Monday, start the prep for the next week.
Yeah, okay. You're starting to bring me to your side a little bit more. But now I'm going to put myself in the NFL executive shoes. Why would they want to interrupt the flow that they have during the middle of the season? When every week they have a Sunday night game that you must watch because they sell urgency. They sell that every week matters desperately. If you miss a week, you're going to miss out on the entire season. You might as well not even watch the Super Bowl because you're going to be so left behind if you miss this Sunday night football this week. That's how they sell the NFL to you. So why would in the middle of it, week 10, so you're talking what, November or late October?
Late October.
Just take a week off and give it up. No, you want people to be stuck in their routine of, I have to watch my team every Sunday. And if my team happens to have a bye week, well, at least my team's rival is on TV, so I have to make sure they lose. Or the team that my team faces the next week is on TV, so I have to look ahead to see what they have. So I don't see how taking a week off in the middle of when the season really heats up is beneficial to the league. I don't see it.
What answer? To start, I said we're going to add 2 weeks to the NFL season. The Pro Bowl and one extra week of regular season games.
No, we're not. We're adding another week?
Yes. They're playing 17 games now because every team will get two bye weeks. You're going to tell me the NFL office doesn't love that idea? How long have we been arguing to have the season be extra long? The last 10 years?
Yeah. The problem is you need now two people. You need two groups to sign off on that. Not just the owners, but now you need the players to sign up for playing another week of regular season football. And judging by everything that I've read, every offseason, now these players are not up for playing another week of football. 16 might be too long. We have studies that say 16-game season is too long, especially when you add in the playoffs for player safety concerns. Add on another regular season week, unless you're putting in a rule, and I've seen this happen before, or I've seen this proposed before, where there's, let's say, 17 weeks in the season, but no player can play more than 15 games. So you have to strategically decide which ones that your guy isn't playing in. Because if you really want to say player safety is the reason why you can't play that many games, you got to put in something to say, well, all right, we're going to force this star quarterback to miss two games. But now you're affecting why you go to the television if you're saying, hey, Peyton Manning, well, bad example, that's Tom Brady at this point. Well, there's two games in the season or one game in the season that you can't play in. Now you're affecting TV. Now NBC's mad when the rest game. You saw how bad it was in the NBA when LeBron James and Steph Curry aren't playing on a primetime game. Thought to me when Tom Brady has to sit out a NBC Sunday Night Football game. NFL's not having that.
No, you get a second bye week.
So, but you're still playing 17 games. 17 games, I don't think, is going to be able to be done. I think the NFL players have taken a stand that said 17 weeks or 17 games of a season is just too much. Now, maybe they're willing to back off of that if you relax the drug testing laws or do something to give the players a little bit more benefit, but they put their line in the sand and said, not for some all-star game being in the middle of the year, are we willing to add on another game? Nah, they ain't doing that.
Even for an extra week off? A full week off, too. Yeah. You get Monday, through Monday off. You can do whatever you want. You can go to Miami, Odell Beckham Jr.
It sounds like more time on the clock, though, in general. That means you're backing up the season another week, so it's another week of commitment for that these guys have to be in regular season mode. I don't think they're willing to sign
No preseason game four. No one watches those anyway, Chris.
It's a Snake River Stampede Week in Canyon County next week on Sports Radio The Ticket. Drop by Taco Bell between 1 and 2 and pick up one of five pairs of tickets to the Snake River Stampede. That's July 18th through the 22nd at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa. Look for the Sports Radio The Ticket van. That's Monday near Simplot Stadium on East Cleveland Boulevard in Caldwell. Up next, we have a sports update. JP running the show. We got anything cool in it?
Well, we've got a lot of cool stuff. John Calipari, you know, has to deny rumors about him going to the Knicks. We'll find out what he told Jim Rome today. Kind of an interesting story about where he was and what he had to tell his wife and kids.
That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Wow, I did not know that was going to happen, Fish. You should have warned me about that. Come on,
you were
Fish.
The one that put that in there, JP.
The Ticket Sports Update threw you off when it was the time to do the sports update on the show.
There was a sports update, and then there was a Ticket Sports Update right after that.
Okay.
I was expecting it to just be music, Chris. I'm new over here. Cut me some slack.
What was the last time you said, I'm new over here?
This was the first time.
I know, right? You've been here for forever.
Kentucky coach John Calipari had to deny a report that he and his agent have contacted the New York Knicks about their opening for team president. He was in Egypt for the FIBA U19 team. And this is what he told Jim Rome earlier today here on The Ticket about what happened.
Well, my phone blew up at 4:45 a.m. here, and I started looking like, what in the world? And I just shook my head. I called my wife and said, honey, there's nothing to this unless you called Jim Dolan. And she said she didn't. So I called my son and said, nothing to it, son. I had to leave a message, and I said, unless you called Jim Dolan. Because the bottom line is, talking to anybody at the Knicks doesn't matter. It's Jim Dolan. And you know what? I'm in Kentucky. I'm not going to reach out to anybody. And you know what? On top of it, I got the best job.
That is a pretty good paying job for Calipari. He signed a 7-year, $50 million extension in 2014. His son Brad is currently a walk-on sophomore with the team.
So John Calipari out here trying to pretend like he doesn't position himself to get raises. I mean, that's all it is whatever agency, and if he represents himself or if he has an agent, or just go behind the scenes, drive up your own price. That way, when your next move is up, you can demand Kentucky pays you a little bit more. And we've seen this move by Nick Saban a bunch of times at Alabama. We've seen this move with you name high profile college coach here. Whenever there's an attractive opening, whether it's in college somewhere else or it's in the pro sports, you may not really want that job, but you make it known through back channels that, hey, it might be a possibility if the number is right. That way you can go back to your current school and say, hey, give me some more money.
I just think Brad called. Brad Calipari, his son. So he was tired of dad coaching him.
He'd be like, yeah, man, I'm sick of this. So this is the Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers thing?
Except it's the opposite, yeah.
Why is his son a walk-on?
Because he's not very good, I would think.
I don't think he needs a scholarship. John Calipari's making enough money to pay for his own classes. Come on, you don't need to waste a scholarship on the son of somebody who makes $50 million. Come on, man.
Exactly. Well, New York Yankees rookie outfielder Dustin Fowler was making his MLB debut yesterday in Chicago. He collided with a wall chasing a foul ball into foul territory. It ruptured a patellar tendon in his right knee. Had surgery later last night. Yankees manager Joe Girardi said the recovery time is about 6 months. That is not the way to start a new gig.
Ouch.
He was due up next inning, too.
Didn't even get that next. The satisfaction of that next at bat. Nah, that's rough. Now, the Yankees, it's not like they've been ravaged by that much bad luck. I know they have a couple of prospects who have been injured, but they couldn't have really designed a better start to the season than Aaron Judge, the power number that he's been able to put up. Now, the record wasn't as good as what it was at the beginning of the year when they had that, a six-game lead at one point in their division. It's kind of closed a little bit. But the Yankees this season, 2017, has been a general positive for them. It was expected to be a little bit worse than this.
That's why you're upset. As a baseball fan, I am upset. Second prospect of the top 100 for the Yankees that's been hurt. Imagine if one of these guys was the next Aaron Judge. What if they had two Aaron Judges on their team and we just lost it because he ran into a foul the sideline on a foul ball.
I will say, Major League Baseball could use the Yankees being the hated team again. I mean, when you have the best player in baseball playing for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, doesn't exactly have the same ring when the best players in the game are playing for the Yankees. So I'm with you. If this guy was really supposed to be something, I'd much rather have him there than not.
And was just last month, wasn't it, that they lost their prospect to Wilbur Torres, Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, for an outfielder.
Not good. Yeah. Not good. NFL plans to play a game in China, but that might have been pushed back until 2019, according to the Sports Business Journal. The NFL announced in 2016 a potential season opener in China between the Rams and 49ers in 2018. But Mark Waller, the NFL executive vice president, told the Journal, might be better to push that back a year so it will coincide with the NFL's 100th anniversary.
You know what would be better? Just push it back every year and never have a game in China.
We can't do that.
Why?
Tom Brady just said he wanted the game in China. Tom Brady says we're going places, the NFL goes to those places.
Did you see Tom Brady trying to wrestle them sumo guys? There was a video that came out that he was trying to wrestle a sumo wrestler that didn't turn out too well. Guess what? The football in China probably won't turn out too well. The London things are one thing, and I just like the fact that you get football early in the morning when you have a London game. But how much more evidence do we need that the rest of the world doesn't rock with American football the way we rock with American football? And we're trying to force this and get those revenue streams. I get it, but if it dilutes and hurts the product here, I'm not willing to do it.
How about they go to China when China cleans up their air a little bit?
That too. We had the Olympics there recently.
That was bad.
I feel like we made it out better than expected. Was it 2008 the Olympics were in Beijing?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I expected the stories to be a lot worse.
No, see, Chris, there's one reason why this game will be in China. Do you see the two teams playing? Rams and 49ers. Would you ever watch that game unless it was in China?
Yeah. That's an interesting point. I'm willing to listen there because, yeah, those two teams not exactly going to be on the primetime Fox slot anytime soon.
Do you think people in California are going to get up early to watch that game?
That's true.
It's like 6 in the morning. You can the hell with that.
What is the time difference in China? I know London.
I think it's about 11 hours.
Yeah, so that means the game's going to be on like at
4 o'clock
in the morning.
Well, they'll say play in the morning in China. We would get it at 6 o'clock.
You know what? I'm down. This is when they need to put it 3 in the morning in China. That way, right after the Boise State football game ends late at night, I can go ahead and watch some NFL football. Late night Boise State football, immediately followed by some NFL football. I'm down with it. Let's do it.
Mark it on your calendar, 2019. Well, Lou Williams is now a member of the LA Clippers. He took to Twitter, kind of to rip on some sports media, saying, "So crazy to me that all these nerds who cover sports, not one athletic bone in their body with all the opinions and analysis."
So
Chris Lewis, aren't you...
I think it was a subtweet.
Aren't you injured right now?
Yeah, so you're saying
Didn't you, like, roll your ankle?
Yeah.
I would have to say, though, of all the people in this building, you're probably the most athletic, so I shouldn't go there.
All right, but, yeah, I think Lou Williams is taking a shot at me. As soon as I try to be Lou Williams on the basketball court, I hurt myself, and now I'm out here elevating my ankle and making sure it's okay. And Lou Williams is out here getting traded to the Clippers. But we had this discussion with Darren College earlier this week of, you know, how the advanced numbers and the pro football focuses of the world, it's making it so people who have really no connection to actually playing the game are now the best evaluators, or at least that's what the narrative is. And I'm sure the people who are in the game hate that narrative because, like, how are you a better evaluator of talent than I am, somebody who's actually been in this huddle, been in this locker room? So, yeah, Lou Williams is being the typical former player, a current player. But I still think, yeah, it does take a different type of mind to be able to gather everything from the numbers and analytics standpoint. You can't just be in the game and be an expert.
Well,
you have to study.
He did come back after some people tweeted some angry tweets at him and said he probably could have used a better word. And so he was talking more about the podcasters, basement bloggers, and he said, "Salute the pros."
As if, like,
he backtracked.
As if a lot of the newspaper columnists out there in the world aren't doing the hustle that a lot of these, we want to call them bloggers, independent journalists, or what they kind of prefer to be called, and they're out here doing the hustle. They're out here doing the work. I'm not the quality speaks for itself. If you do good work, it'll be seen, not just because you have a certain title. If you do good work, whether it's a blog or whether it's a podcast or whether it's in a newspaper or whether it's on a newspaper website, the good stuff comes to the top.
I think all the bloggers should give out their phone numbers just like what's-his-name did yesterday, and people can just call them. And finally, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski kind of in hot water with Nike over a logo that he uses for Gronk Nation LLC. He wanted to trademark this, put it on a bunch of clothes and stuff like that. It's a silhouette of him spiking a football, but Nike says it looks too much like the Jumpman logo of the Nike's Jordan brand. Now, Nike has filed a formal opposition to the logo. Gronk has until August 5th to respond. And if nothing happens, we might see Gronk and Phil Knight in court.
Let's go head-to-head. I think I'm going with Gronk. He doesn't lose anything. But nah, this is Michael Jordan being sensitive. All right, it's people being sensitive. What is it? On the Twitter page, right? KCIK 93.1
yes.
FM. We have the side-by-side of the two. Yeah, the Jordan brand's being a little bit sensitive with this. Come on, it's not that
If you
similar.
Can't tell the difference, you need glasses.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. Find out how Broncos are doing in the NFL today on Sports Radio The Ticket and every day this week. We'll also try to do it next week on Idaho Sports Talk with us. 4 o'clock with Gaze and Prater's the target time, and we'll do it at 2 o'clock, including today, where we'll get the lowdown on what's going on in Tampa. You got a few Boise State Broncos there, McNichols, Martin, and Thomas Spurbeck. We've been hearing a lot of good things about his chances of standing out in camp. So again, Broncos in the NFL on Sports Radio The Ticket, 1350 AM and 93.1 FM The Ticket. Up next, it is Quick Hits. Let's see if Michael Fisher knows how this thing goes. I'm going to rank the best players in the NBA under the age of 25, telling you the future of who you need to pay attention to. That's next on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. Topic number one.
Sorry about the voice there, because there's no Bob. It's just Chris and Fish rocking the Quick Hits today. Four topics, rapid fire fast, and starting with, why does Russell Wilson have the best diet ever?
Because he doubled his calories, almost, while losing weight. After the season, Russell Wilson was about 225 pounds. He went to a dietitian and said, I'm too heavy, I need to get more mobile. He was assuming about 2,700 calories a day. Now he's eating 4,800 calories a day and has 9 meals.
Whoa.
And he's down to 211 pounds and has lost 6% body fat.
What is he eating?
Let's see. We've got a pre-workout semi-breakfast of a tablespoon of almond butter and a tablespoon of jam. Not flavor, not specified, unfortunately. His actual breakfast, 2 cups of oatmeal, 6 whole eggs, a fruit, and a chicken breast.
He's eating 6 eggs?
Yes.
Wow!
His mid-morning snack of fruit and 12 almonds. Lunch number one, 2 chicken breasts are the equivalent amount of protein, and then a yam, a cup of rice, or a potato, and a vegetable. Same exact thing for lunch number two, his mid-afternoon snack, a fruit and 12 almonds. Late afternoon snack, again, a fruit, 12 almonds, and some protein. Dinner, fish or steak, and then a salad or vegetables. And then a bedtime snack, which is fruit and a tablespoon of molasses, if light workouts the next morning. Or MASH, which is shredded wheat, applesauce, almond butter, and jam, which his dietitian just says you crunch all that blank up and eat it and go to bed.
Oh, my goodness. All of that every day?
All that every day, and he's lost 11 pounds.
Yay, metabolism. Like, that's the only explanation with that. How are you losing weight?
There's a bunch of fancy words about how metabolism, hot, cold, athlete bodies. I didn't read all that. All I know is he's eating 9 meals and 4,800 calories.
I mean, and it starts with 6 eggs in the morning. Yes, what is the most, like, what is your breakfast routine? I mean, I know you have to wake up early these days to do some
traffic. I have a bowl of cereal.
You're a cereal guy?
And then I'm usually pretty full. I did have an amazing burrito from Burger Belly, which I can't believe you've never been, Chris Lewis.
No.
We're going to have to talk after the show.
All right. So me, it's when I have breakfast, I do like eggs, but I'll have 3 at the most. Unless I'm having Eggs Benedict, then I might have 4 because Eggs Benedict is really good.
Topic number two.
All right, Chris, who are the best NBA players under 25 years old? And there's only one name that should be at the top.
All right, so the under 25 all-stars, if you will, because we're going to talk a lot about the established guys with free agency happening over the next week or so. But how about the names like Anthony Davis, who's under 25, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's under 25, Kristaps Porzingis, Karl-Anthony Towns, You have Wiggins. You have Nikola Jokic, who's actually a really good player of the Nuggets. Might be the best guy in the NBA that nobody's really ever heard of. Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, who's barely 20, and he put up 70 in an NBA game. Guys who haven't played yet, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, number one picks. Joel Embiid, also on the list. Now, Anthony Davis is the obvious guy of, you know, somebody who you'd probably sell the farm to get. And he's 24 years old, and he's shown the ability to do everything on the basketball court. But if health is something to just be taken as a given, right? If you can just tell me, like you said,
you're turning
if you
the injury settings off.
The injury settings off for the Pro Bowl in the NFL. If you can turn the injury settings off, I don't know how Joel Embiid isn't number one on this list. Dude is legit 7'1", 7'2". He has the size of your interior classic centers, the weight of your Patrick Ewings in the past. The dude has handle. He can shoot threes at the clip of, what, 36% last year. And did you see his ability to put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket and dunk on people last year? Like, this dude has perimeter skills in the body of a classic center. This isn't like Anthony Davis being a guard most of his life and then having a growth spurt, but still has, like, guard-type body, guard-type weight. This is a legit 7'2", like a 275-pound dude who can do a lot of the things that guards can do. So, like, again, health being a given. Asking a guy who's had health problems, lower body problems, as a 7-footer is asking for a lot. I understand that. But we're talking about a dude with Hall of Fame talent right here. So I would put him, if you turn the injury settings off, number one on my under 25 list.
He can do everything he did this year. Next year, for 60 games, I will say you're right.
Topic number three.
How has every Miguel Cabrera MVP voter been proving right this last month?
Well, 2012-2013, Miguel Cabrera won the MVP back-to-back years, despite Mike Trout having the higher WAR. Mike Trout, of course, injured. Thankfully, Chris, you reminded me to trade him off my fantasy team. When he went down, Angels 26-27. Since he's gotten hurt, the Angels, whose everybody thought their season was done, this is why you should trade Trout. He's not worth it. You can't win without him. 16-13. Second place in their division. Their runs per game have gone up by almost one run a game since the best player in baseball has been hurt. And everyone in the lineup's hitting better except Albert Pujols. I think this just proves what everyone knew back in 2012-2013. You can't be the most valuable player if your team gets better when you're not there.
That's an interesting case that they're averaging a run per game more. I wonder why other people are playing better. So is your argument that Mike Trout was making other players play worse in their lineup? I don't know what the argument that you're making.
Miguel Cabrera was truly the most valuable player because he made his team better. You can't make your team better if they get better when you go out.
I don't know how you can make them better anyway. Like, what? He can't bat for those guys. I mean, he can make them see better pitches because he's on base,
so
or he's protecting
better, right?
People by being behind somebody in the order and making them see better pitches that way. But you said Albert Pujols is hitting worse. So there's your prime example there of the one guy who's hitting worse was the one guy being affected by Mike Trout being in the lineup. So I don't know the point you're trying to make with this.
Basically, Miguel Cabrera was supposed to be the MVP in 2012 and 2013.
You're saying Mike Trout is a bum.
Yes.
And I don't like it. Mike Trout might be the best baseball player I've ever seen, and you're saying he's a bum.
Topic number four.
All right, Chris, what did Jim Boeheim say that made you really happy?
All right, Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I've ever seen. I just wanted to correct that right now before anybody else says anything. Because, yeah, Barry Bonds, when he was in his prime, I don't care how many steroids he was taking. It's ridiculous. Barry Bonds, give me more Barry Bonds on steroids. I don't care. That was so fun. Okay, what did Jim Boeheim say that I like? He was talking about his boy, Carmelo Anthony. Of course, Melo played at Syracuse, won a championship for Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim goes and says, the triangle is the worst offense ever unless you have Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. And he, you know what? He's 100% right. Do we have any evidence that the triangle offense has been successful in any level of basketball if it didn't have Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant in it? Like, probably, what, two of the most talented 5-10 players who've ever played basketball? I don't know where you'd want to put Kobe in this discussion, but absolutely right. Like, the triangle offense, if an offense can only work if it has Michael Jordan or Kobe and Shaq in it, or Kobe and Pau Gasol when Pau Gasol was a top 10 player in the league, I don't know if it's necessarily a great offense. So that was the one reason you had to get rid of Phil Jackson. Not because he made a bunch of bad moves like he did, signing Noah with that contract. He drafted okay. Hernan Gomez and Porzingis were not bad players in the NBA. But you can't insist on running an archaic offense in 2017 in the NBA, and as recently as 3 years ago, say three-pointers don't work in the NBA.
I think Carmelo was sipping a little too much of the Gatorade there. Did you see what the New York Post said?
Late in the season,
Kristaps Porzingis, he was praising the triangle offense. I think we're finally getting to work. We're finally figuring it out. After the game, Carmelo Anthony apparently lit into him to remind him how stupid the triangle offense is.
It's an offense that has principles that work in a 2017 offense. Again, the Warriors have triangle principles in what they do, but the strict, like, we're going to dump it down to the block. We don't want three-pointers, high post to low post. That's kind of an archaic offense. Carmelo Anthony knows the deal. The problem is when he had a modern offense in town, the Mike D'Antoni system, he didn't like that either. So it's like, you know, this porridge is too cold. This porridge is too hot. Can't find one that's just right.
How do you build a triangle with five people?
Good point. It reminds me of that scene in Like Mike. Have you seen that movie where
yeah.
they're drawing the triangle offense on the side of the house? I always wanted to do that with my house. My mom never let me. All right, update on some of the Boise State players in the NFL. We take the turn to Tampa. Doug Martin, Jeremy McNichols, Thomas Spurbeck. Updates on them next. Except Bob isn't here. So Michael Fisher is in the host chair today. Chris Lewis here on Idaho Sports Talk. Waiting for Greg Allman of the Tampa Bay Times. This is our Broncos in the NFL series, where we talk about these Boise State players either established, looking to establish themselves with these NFL teams. And Tampa is probably one of the most interesting spots just because of the number of Boise State players and figures who are there. You got, of course, Doug Martin, who's been a staple. When he is on, he's on. It's just crazy how he's either one of the most productive backs in football, or it seems like he's really hurting your fantasy team, one or the other. Trust me, a lot of experience there drafting Doug Martin, and maybe I'm not getting everything that I paid for there. You add in Jeremy McNichols, who, of course, put up huge numbers when he was at Boise State, kind of a do-it-all type running back. We'll see how they want to use him there. Thomas Spurbeck, Bob has mentioned on this show plenty of times that he's hearing great things out of Tampa about Spurbeck and his chances of maybe cracking, making the team for a guy who wasn't drafted. Jonathan Moxie is still there. Don't know the latest on him and whether he has any path of getting some preseason action. When you have a head coach who used to coach here in Dirk Cutter, of course, Antoine Murray, who's a former member of Boise State on the staff, who's now a scout there with Tampa. There's just a lot of Bronco flavor on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And you didn't mention the best part. They're on Hard Knocks this year.
That too.
Which means we get to watch the journey, mainly of Spurbeck and Moxie, the two undrafted free agents. You would think McNichols would make the team being drafted in the fourth round. We get to watch the undrafted journey. Hopefully they get to pick them. I know they like to pick the guys with a big personality.
Mm-hmm.
Spurbeck may not qualify, but I'm sure Moxie would.
Yeah, they can turn Spurbeck into a folk hero type, though. They can do it. And yeah. Moxie, he's the type of figure that, you know, Hard Knocks looks for, searches for. So you're right. I don't know if we can find the numbers of the amount of people here who will watch Hard Knocks, but hopefully it'll be up because there's a chance that it'll be a feature, maybe even a Boise State feature on Hard Knocks. That would be great. But I think what grabs a lot of people's attention is the running back situation there, right? Because you being an NFC South fan, you like the Saints, one of the main rivals, you've probably been victimized by Doug Martin a few times.
Oh, several times.
Yeah, Martin's had big games against him. Now, he's also suspended for the first three games of this next season. Now, I've done my prep of going to rotoworld.com because I'm always looking at, okay, who do I want to draft in fantasy football next year? And every story there with Doug Martin says, great shape. He looks like the Martin of 2015. He looks quicker and bulkier. Martin says, I'm a stronger person now. So, hey, can you really count on a guy, even though he suspended the first three games of the year? It's a real tough spot because you're letting the opportunity of somebody like McNichols to come up and get more time. Now, their backups, whether it's Rodgers or whether it's Sims, they kind of have reshuffled what their backups look like. But I still think Martin is going to have his shot. He's just 28 years old. I think it'll still come down to him as being the primary guy.
It should. I don't think you can trust Jaquizz Rosiers to take 30 carries a game for an entire NFL season.
He's like 5'6". Nah, I don't think so. But there's McNichols there, though.
I would say he's going to, I would assume he's going to come in as you're starting as your pass catching back. Charles Sims, not good hands. The Buccaneers may attempt to throw the ball in literally every play with Mike Evans, Jameis Winston, and DeSean Jackson. You're going to have a lot of space underneath with DeSean Jackson, since I still think he claims he can run like a 4.440 and probably is the fastest player in the NFL.
He does have speed, which makes me think that not only, I've said it on this show before, I think Tampa is not only a squad that can win the NFC South this year. I mean, I'm thinking this is a team that has the capability of making a deep playoff run. You have a young up-and-coming quarterback who will be talking about Hard Knocks being a potential star on that show. He has the appeal of a lot of people who don't like him for what went down at Florida State, but the fact that he is a really engaging speaker and he's very charismatic. So, you know, Jameis Winston's going to be one of those NFL figures we'll be hearing about for quite some time. You got Doug Martin and Jeremy McNichols, Sims, Rogers. It's at least a lot of options in the backfield. And then you mentioned the weapons in the receiving core. Mike Evans, a big target, kind of the ideal body type for a number one receiver. He made Johnny Manziel look good at Texas A&M, so you know he has to be a good receiver. Yes, I'm throwing shade at your boy.
Wow.
DeSean Jackson, who I'm not the biggest fan of being on the hook for him down the line, which there will be. I mean, 30-plus years old is somebody who relies on speed and has an injury history in the way DeSean Jackson does. But for a year, if you can keep him on the field, he's somebody who will require a double team down the field. Absolutely. Good teams will be able to shut him down, but it'll still take a couple of guys to be able to do it. And then O.J. Howard, the tight end out of Alabama, who whenever it seemed like they had a big game that needed something out of the passing game, he would be there for it, but yet his totals every season didn't really register that high because they didn't really need the tight end to produce that much. But when he was called upon, he was a beast. They have, if they don't make a deep playoff run, they'll at least be my Madden team. Put it that way.
See, all those weapons you named are great. Can Jameis Winston throw it to the guys in the right color?
Picks.
18 interceptions last year, 15 his first year, second in the NFL last year. I don't think what you want to see in a rookie quarterback is his interception numbers go up in his second year.
Yeah, that would be...
In the NFC South.
Yeah, or the defenses are the Saints' defense.
It's like the Big 12, basically.
Atlanta Falcons' defense.
First to 40 wins in this in this division. So sure. That's your biggest question mark. And his backup, by the way, should something happen? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Who Vince Young says shouldn't even be in the NFL anymore. And somebody who, speaking of interceptions, he's not afraid to throw a few of those either. So I would say, like going into the year, Tampa is in the division with Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina. All unique stories. Carolina, Super Bowl a couple of years ago, fell off dramatically last year, and Cam Newton with surgery during the offseason. I think he'll be ready by training camp. Atlanta, with their devastating Super Bowl loss, really the prime candidate for a drop-off, right? Losing their offensive coordinator, going to the head coaching job. There's a lot of reasons that you would think Atlanta might not be at the same level as they were on their playoff run last year. And then New Orleans, I'm sorry, but not many people are buying that defense. Are you going to try to make the case that New Orleans is the favorite? Because I'm going to make the case that Tampa's the favorite in the NFC South.
I was going to make the case they're the favorite. I would put them second. I put them behind Carolina. I think Cam Newton comes back. I think Matt Ryan, best candidate to pull a Cam Newton and go from MVP to a dumpster fire. Not figure out how to throw the ball, but you know, who cares about the defense when you throw for 5,000 yards with Drew Brees? They added Adrian Peterson, who, oh, by the way, is a top running back, probably a Hall of Famer. Every time he doesn't rush for 1,000 yards, you know the stat, Chris, he rushes for 1,000 yards.
He's also really old and has a lot of body or a lot of mileage on the body, so I'm not going to count on him.
He's
as much as
you are. He's
going to
channel his inner Lou Williams and remind all those nerds out there why they don't have an athletic bone in their body. Tampa Bay's got to show that Jameis Winston doesn't turn the ball over.
Comes down to the quarterback. I will say, if it's just a matter of QBs, I will trust Drew Brees. How old is he now?
39? 38
years old over Jameis Winston for this next season. Anything beyond next season, though, I would probably take Jameis Winston.
We're only talking about next season.
Next season. But, man, Tampa's roster surrounding Jameis, especially on that offensive side. Y'all Saints got rid of Brandon Cooks, right? You got traded to
Ted Ginn Jr.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ted Ginn Jr., the man who can't stay in bounds to save his life and drops every deep pass that's right in his bread basket. He's going to all of a sudden turn it around for the Saints. Yeah, I'm not buying that argument.
No, here, you play fantasy football. I'll give you one name, Michael Thomas.
He was actually pretty good.
90-plus catches last year. He's going to be the number one guy.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. I'll give you that. It's time to tailgate with Kays and Prater today, 3-6, with a live edition of Idaho Sports Talk. If you're near Boise State today, watch the show and have a happy hour refreshment and a big bite to eat. Kays and Prater at the Tailgate Sports Bar off Capitol at the entrance to Ann Morrison Park today, 3-6 on Sports Radio The Ticket. Up next, another sports update on Sports Radio The Ticket.
This Ticket Sports Update brought to you by 321 Golf, the free app that connects you to your favorite local golf courses for up-to-date information on special events, tournaments, vacant tee times, lessons, or even food and drink specials. Chris, you have got to love this NBA free agency period, do you not?
It's fun, man. It's fun to track this all. We got Gordon Hayward out there, Paul George trade rumors, Blake Griffin can sign with a different team. We already had Chris Paul on the move. Jimmy Butler got traded. Can anybody make moves that can make them a threat to the Warriors? There's so much meat on this bone.
Well, let's talk about this. Pacers trying to shop Paul George, despite the statement that he has no plans to re-sign with the team following the upcoming season. Celtics rumored to be interested in him. Why is that not going to work?
The Celtics, wake me up when they make a move. They've been collecting all these assets. They have all the capability to turn themselves into an immediate contender. But they don't want to do it.
How many assets would you give away, though? Have you seen this latest trade demands from what the Boston Herald's reporting?
What, they want something of value?
They want the Nets and the Lakers pick next year, and at least one, if not multiple, current starting players on the Celtics roster, which makes me believe it's at least Avery Bradley and possibly Jay Crowder.
But where would Jay Crowder play if they actually brought in Paul George? And
okay, that one, but why did you trade Crowder, two draft picks, and Bradley for Paul George?
Avery Bradley is a free agent after this next season, so you're not going to be able to re-sign Avery Bradley anyway. So you
and
might
he gave
well
up 70 points.
Value. Yeah, except he gave up 70 points while watching the game on the bench, according to Chris Broussard. I didn't vote him first team all defense because did you see him give up 70 points? No, actually, nobody saw him give up 70 points to Devin Booker because Avery Bradley wasn't playing in that game. But great logic, Chris Broussard. We all get it. Yeah, the Celtics are in a position where they have a roster where if they add two more pieces, like a Paul George and a Gordon Hayward, now you're talking about a championship contender. So if you're going to accumulate all of these pieces, like, I get saving them because it keeps you in a good position, but if you're not going to strike now, when are you going to strike? This is the time when you have a roster that has the ability to compete at the highest level. We're not talking about, like, the Sixers who, like, no matter what you can do, adding one or two players is not going to change you into a superstar laden team. Like, the Celtics have the ability to strike, get really good, but Danny Ainge continues to drive a hard bargain.
Plus, free agency. Let's talk about the Warriors. They might lose one of their big studs, as ESPN's reporting that Andrew Iguodala plans to not have a meeting with the current team when he becomes a free agent tomorrow. He was the 2015 NBA Finals MVP and has drawn some interest from a lot of different playoff teams around the league. Kevin Durant, though, said he would redo his contract or sign and take less money so that they could get Iguodala. What do you think about that?
It sounds like the high school drama, you know, when you got your girlfriend in high school.
What?
But she's, you haven't been paying the type of attention that you need to, pay to her. So she's just flirting with, some of the other guys who are on the football team or something like that. But
you're in a lot of trouble at that
nothing's
point.
Nothing's going on.
But then you go
really
out and buy her
on
a nice ring or
something.
Exactly. Dinner, or take her out
you
to
just
dinner
have
a
to
movie?
Pay her more attention. You just have to realize, like, not take her for granted. Realize that, she's special and treat her like she's special. And that's what Andre Iguodala wants. He's just going to go out there and talk to a little bit of the other teams that are out there just so he makes sure the Warriors treat him in the way he deserves. Take him out to a movie. Take him out to dinner. Go buy him roses. That's exactly what he's looking for, some roses.
What about a new car? Maybe he needs a new car.
That too. Pay him enough money to give him a new car.
Now speaking
it's
of
like
drama.
It's like a scorned relationship then,
that's exactly
is what you're saying.
What it is. It's not necessarily scorned. Like, they still care about each other, but he just wants to be in the position where don't take
maybe
him for granted.
Maybe he wants to date other people. Maybe it's not you, it's him.
I don't know if they've reached that stage yet, because there's no going back once it's, you know, it's not you, it's me, or that level. That's the no going back zone.
Speaking of it's not you, it's me, and it's drama, Chris Lewis, you turned me on to this story.
All right, here we go.
There's a GoFundMe going out. JP, you can weigh in on this as well. These two ladies, they met each other, well, with another man. A man who was married. Both of them have children from said man, but they fell in love with each other.
Okay,
and they're now starting a GoFundMe page for their wedding, which led me and Chris to discussing, do they invite the man to the marriage or to the wedding?
Absolutely.
Why?
Of course.
Why is he invited?
Is he currently married or not?
Yes, he is currently married.
Well, then no. He'd get into a lot of hot water.
But he but
he's
was the
already
matchmaker.
In a,
he was the matchmaker.
Right, but
that's the thing.
His new old lady does not want to relive that stuff.
Now, that's the thing with this story. Like, if those two women would not have met if they weren't messing with this married man
yes.
together
yes.
and having, you know, relationships together. So, again, this is a really complicated story.
And he is
story.
The father to both of their children.
Yes. Talk about drama. The most dramatic story possibly of 2017.
Old lady number three already knows about the other two, obviously, if he's got kids by them.
Potentially.
Do we know that for sure?
Yeah, we don't know
that was not
sure.
part of the story. We
well,
only
that's...
knew it from the women's perspective, the one and two. Not We did not hear the perspective from woman number three.
Really woman number one.
Yeah, she was the first, at least we think.
So he was married to her at the time.
He's married to woman number one. He met woman number two and three together.
Oh, well, then he cannot go to that wedding.
No, can't go
Absolutely
to it?
Not.
You sent out the invitation, though, right? Like, if you're the women
no,
two and
you
three,
don't even
you
do that. You don't even do that.
I feel like you got to. You wouldn't have met if it wasn't for this guy.
Exactly.
You
got
to send the invitation. It's up to him to decline it. Now, you make sure that invitation might be a text because
exactly.
you don't want it to be a
clandestine text. Hey, you know, we'd like to have you there. If you want to come, but we're not going to say, because we don't want to screw up your marriage at the moment more than we already have.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good story, Fish. Not quite as good, well, probably quite as good, as Kentucky coach John Calipari had to deny a report. He's been contacted by the Knicks, or he contacted the Knicks about their opening for president. He was in Egypt with the FIBA U19 team, and here's what he told Jim Rome about what went down. Hold on one second. I got to get it queued up here.
Well, my phone blew up at 4:45 a.m. here, and I started looking like, what in the world? And I just shook my head. I called my wife and said, honey, there's nothing to this unless you called Jim Dolan. And she said she didn't. So I called my son and said, nothing to it, son. I had to leave a message, and I said, unless you called Jim Dolan. Because the bottom line is, talking to anybody at the Knicks doesn't matter. It's Jim Dolan. And you know what? I'm in Kentucky. I'm not going to reach out to anybody. And you know what? On top of it, I got the best job.
He's already making $7 million a year, extension in 2014. So he's sitting pretty good right now. He doesn't need that job.
When he said it's Jim Dolan, was he saying, like, I wouldn't want to work with Jim Dolan? Is that what he was saying by that? I had a hard time interpreting, like, what, like, it's Jim Dolan.
As if,
like,
it was a negative or a positive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't know if that was, like, it's Jim Dolan, meaning, like,
I'm
of course he's the owner of the Knicks, or is it, like, of course I wouldn't want to work with a guy like that? I couldn't tell. But Kyle Perry's in a pretty good spot the way he is, but that wouldn't mean that he wouldn't sniff around looking for a raise.
But his son's on the team. Good old Brad Calipari, the all-star that is currently 2-for-13 in his collegiate career at Kentucky.
Maybe he's like this story that you just told, Fish, about the guy who's, you know, he's got two or three things on the side, you know? I mean,
who knows?
That wouldn't surprise
which
me
one
about
of the Calipari women
exactly.
were the ones who reached out to the New York Knicks to say, hey, Calipari would be interested in this position. Do you think Calipari's last stop is Kentucky? Because I don't.
No, it's New Orleans.
Like, I don't think his last stop is the head coach of Kentucky. I think eventually he takes a different job.
Yeah, I just told you where.
Do you think he's going to be coaching the New Orleans Kentucky players?
Yes. At like one point,
Anthony
we'll sign
Davis,
every single Kentucky
DeMarcus
player.
DeMarcus Cousins, y'all going to try to get with Eric Bledsoe. How many other guys?
Devin Booker.
Devin
John,
Booker.
Or,
we'll find him.
Derrick Rose, he can come over. He's a, you
he's
know,
not a, hold, a,
he's a holdover.
Yeah, he's a Memphis guy. So, hey, if you think that the Calipari will like life in New Orleans, go for it. It's a Snake River Stampede week in Canyon County next week on Sports Radio The Ticket. Drop by Taco Bell between 1 and 2 and pick up one of five pairs of tickets to the Snake River Stampede. That's July 18th through the 22nd at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa. Look for the Sports Radio The Ticket van Monday near Simplot Stadium on East Cleveland Boulevard in Caldwell. So up next on Idaho Sports Talk, we discuss this Flag Football League, the American Flag Football League. Jeff Lewis is the commissioner of this league. We have a couple of questions to throw at the commissioner of this league. Number one, why is the quarterback wearing helmets in a flag football league where they can't rush the passer? That and more next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Michael Fisher is in for Bob Beeler, Chris Lewis here on Idaho Sports Talk. All right, so this American Flag Football League. Fish, you've been really hooked on this because it involves your favorite player of all time, Michael Vick.
Yes.
Michael Vick playing flag football. That's at least a little bit intriguing to me, too. So what attracted you so much to this league? And we have the commissioner on. We'll get him on in a second here.
It's Michael Vick playing flag football.
Michael Vick, okay. That'll do it. It's like Allen Iverson playing in the Big Three League. So it's very similar. Our favorite athletes in a throwback style. And Jeff Lewis is the commissioner of the American Flag Football League. He joins us now. Jeff, we appreciate the time.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. Now, number one, I saw on the Sports Illustrated feature, you kind of said you just got the idea of launching something like this after watching a family member play flag football. What's the vision of this league?
Yeah, I've been, you know, basically there was like one play about 3 years ago that was off the charts. We actually lost the game on the last play, a team that I was coaching of nine-year-olds, and yet I thought it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. So that got me thinking about what would this game look like if it was by world-class players versus as opposed to little kids.
Now, Jeff, you guys played your first game earlier this week, and the thing that struck me is I saw the two quarterbacks, Michael Vick, Jimmy Clausen, they're wearing some kind of helmet, but nobody's rushing the passer. So why are the quarterbacks wearing helmets? Kind of what the purpose is there? Yeah, just why are they wearing helmets as quarterbacks?
Well, in a lot of 7-on-7 and non-contact practice, players choose to wear some of these soft protective helmets. Obviously, it's not the same kind of risk and contact as tackle football, but still people can bang into each other. People can, you know, fall on the ground and get caught up in. And I think that some of these products offer some degree of protection, and people, you know, choose to use them. That's certainly up to them. And I think you saw a couple of the guys wearing them, but most of the guys weren't.
Jeff Lewis, the American Flag Football League commissioner, he's joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Now, I mentioned that while bringing you on that it sort of feels like the Big Three League, which has gotten a lot of attention. The Ice Cube started 3-on-3 basketball league, which involves a lot of former NBA stars. Is it fair to kind of qualify the American Flag Football League as thus, where you're having a lot of former NFL players and still being able to play football, although it's not the exact football that we're used to seeing them play? All right, we'll try to get him back on. It's clearly we're struggling with the connection there. We're trying to fight through it. But, yeah, that's the thing. Like, is it basically trying to bank on the popularity of a lot of the former athletes? Like, Ben, you said you're the biggest Michael Vick fan, and that will draw your attention to this league just to see him play? Or is there going to be something about the style of play and the athleticism that you're seeing that will be something that attracts a lot of viewers to the television screen? I think we have Jeff back, and I don't know if you heard that question that I asked about...
Yes, about Allen Iverson?
Yeah, the Big Three League and the comparison to the American Flag Football League.
Been a little busy, so I haven't had a chance to watch any of the Big Three.
And we lost him again.
Places to play. You can either play NBA D League, or you can play in any one of about 15 or 20 leagues in Europe and Asia. And if you're an experienced player, there are a lot of opportunities to make real money. I think Stephon Marbury might have had a better career in China than he had in America. And you're right now, you're
Gotta kind of cut it off here. It's unfortunate, but we appreciate it from Jeff Lewis of the American Flag Football League, commissioner there. It's a shame because I kind of did want to hear what the kind of the plan was for the future of it, because I'm still not sure what the Big Three League has in terms of sustainability. because, okay, once you get past the novelty of seeing Allen Iverson and him perhaps being a little bit out of shape and going 1-for-5 in the first game, like after you see it once, is there something about the structure of the league that is going to bring somebody back to the screen? Now, I know what they did is they're trying to implement things like a 4-point line and other globetrotter-like aspects to make it different than your typical basketball game. And while, you know, flag football has a lot of drastic difference in the NFL football that you see on TV, whether he had any plans of, you know, kind of, you come to the screen to watch Michael Vick, but you stay to see something else. And I guess won't know what that something else might be.
We'll figure that out in 2018. That's when they say the league's going to start with 8 teams. So, Chris, former NFL player, who would you be most excited for if they announced this player is coming to the American Flag Football League?
Well, the thing is, if you're not going to allow people to rush the passer, what's the appeal of seeing Michael Vick? Because you can't really see Michael Vick do Michael Vick things, like run around behind the pocket and scramble for 15 seconds and then find somebody down the field or cut it upfield and get a big gain on the ground. Like, that's the reason that Michael Vick was such a unique player in the NFL. In a flag football setting, it's not that unique. Now, in a flag football setting, what you'd want to see are spectacular catches by some wide receivers. So with that in mind, it's easily Randy Moss. Because Randy Moss leaping over the top of a defensive back and making a one-handed catch, I don't care if it's in the NFL or if it's on a high school field or if it's on a flag football stage. Seeing that kind of athleticism is fun to me.
Well, they're already going that way. The two teams that played were named after wide receivers, not Michael Vick. Team Ocho Cinco and Team Owens. So should we just have a team, each team led by a diva wide receiver?
Yeah.
Chris Carter.
The smart thing is to attach yourself to a guy like Chad Ocho Cinco, right? Somebody who will sell itself, who will continue to talk. And while he's over the top quite a bit, you need over the top personalities when you're a startup type of league and you're trying to gain some popularity and some traction. So, yeah, absolutely. You want Ocho Cinco. You want Terrell Owens to do a bunch of these end zone celebrations. And the funny thing is, the question that you brought up about helmets and one of the answers that we were able to get was about, you know, the fact that there are some collisions and you can't take out all the dangerous parts about football. So that's why they're still wearing helmets. But I think the great part about this league is that there isn't as many helmets, so you can see their faces. And that's what I think attracts a lot of people to NBA basketball, the ones who do watch it, is that you're actually seeing these guys' faces. They're not covered up. They're not covered in pads. That'd be one thing where, you know, we're used to seeing football where I guess you know what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady looks like because you've seen them on commercials and you've seen them on interviews quite a bit. But there's a lot of personalities that you don't feel connected to because you don't see them. And in a format like this, you can actually see them.
Now, Chris, would you try out for this league?
No, I got a hurt ankle right now.
Oh, okay, when obviously the league's going to look to start up 2018. There's a quote from Jeff Lewis when they were talking about this. He said, quote, "We're going to try and find a 60-year-old guy with a beer gut who can stand in and be quarterback for one of our teams." So it sounds like they want to have a mix. I think that's a terrible idea, but would you try out if they sent out, you know, this mass email or you saw it on their website? Tryouts in Boise, mm-hmm. Idaho.
I think I would. I would try to be a defensive back. I think I have the personality of being a defensive back. I can make a mistake and give up a touchdown, but still have that confidence that the next play, that I'll be able to shut it down. So I think I would try out and try to be a defensive back. But I think I also, like, back when I, you know, go to the park and you play pickup football, you know, with some friends in the backyard or whatever, I was usually steady quarterback. And I think it takes a certain personality to be steady quarterback. You have to have a certain amount of trust within your friend group to be the steady quarterback. So I was a steady quarterback personality. For some reason, I'm just not feeling the steady quarterback personality from you. I don't think you could have been you were the steady quarterback. I don't think you were trustworthy enough from your friend group where you could be the steady quarterback.
Wow, that kind of hurts. Now, I played some flag football, Boise State.
Oh,
intramurals.
I did not know that.
Yeah, intramurals with my friends. Similar rules is actually the league they were talking about. There's a no, you can't rush the passer. It's a time clock. And I will have you know, I was the quarterback.
You were the quarterback.
I was the quarterback, and there was some ups and some downs. We didn't win a single game that year.
Whoa! Okay.
Now, I will say one thing. It wasn't the trust that was there. The arm was there. the arm got really tired at about halftime. There was, I think, two games. We were up 28-14, back-to-back games. I'm throwing deep bombs, quick out routes. Get to the sideline at halftime. I'm like, team, this arm's not going to do it anymore. And they're like, well, none of us could play quarterback. And I threw about five interceptions. I missed guys by about 10 yards down the field, and it was over. So if you put me in for a half, Chris Lewis, I can be a reliable change-of-pace quarterback. But you don't think I'm trustworthy enough to be a quarterback?
The steady quarterback where you got to be equal for both teams, like, because that's the first thing of losing trust when you were starting to play better for one team than you were the other. Now this is you're being the quarterback for one team, so there's a little bit different of a personality than being the steady quarterback when you're playing with a group of friends.
You think I would cheat out a group, a friend?
I would be the one to question you.
Well, Chris,
how
many people did you play with when you were back home? Five on five?
Yeah,
four on four?
Roughly 10.
All right, do you
people?
Have roughly 10, 11 friends?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so back at home.
No, just find me 10 groups of people. I'll be quarterback. I'll prove
right,
to you.
You're
calling me out.
Michael Fisher, the steady Q. No, I'm surprised. You got a flag football career. Now all you need is Tommy John surgery to help, you know, keep that strength back in your arm if you're wearing down after a half of football. You need to get that Tommy John surgery, sit out for a year, and make sure you get the rehab right, and then your arm will be stronger than ever. You down with that?
I'm down for that. We did get a text from Colin Boise. He said Marshall Faulk would be awesome in the AFFL. I don't know if they allow running plays. I would assume they don't. A fullback did have 9 catches for 210 yards, so there's no saying Marshall Faulk can't option out wide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to one-up Colin Boise, though. LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson would have to have the dark visor, so because we don't want to ever see his face.
We saw that helmet that Michael Vick had on. Just clip on a dark visor to it.
Marshall Faulk, to me, more of a eye-pleasing runner. I think Reggie Bush, this was his calling. Oh. This was Reggie Bush's
calling. Before he went to St. Louis and tore his ACL on the concrete.
Yeah, he's the greatest flag football player of all time, except he's never played flag football. But his days at USC, I still remember that step back behind the bat move he put against Fresno State. Like, he was missing his opportunity to be a real difference-making athlete. It was definitely in flag football, not NFL football, but shout out Reggie Bush. He was like a 13-year NFL career, because given how the first 4 years went, did you think that he'd be in the NFL for this long?
Is he still in the NFL?
I think so.
Well, shout out to him. To Chris Lewis, before we stop this, one question. Big Three final for next year, American Flag Football final, both on at the same time, and you can attend one in person, and Allen Iverson's not there, because I know you go to AI in person anytime. Yeah. Which game are you going to go to?
Big Three.
Mm, boo.
They still organized it, at least from, you know, the television package. It was live there. That building had energy. It looked like from the highlights that I've seen from this, there was about 30 people there watching. There was 12,000 at the Barclays Center. It was about 30 people there watching. So I want to be at the event that, you know, it was a party. In the Big Three League, at least to me, day number one seemed like more of a party. It's time to tailgate with Gaze and Prater today, 3 to 6, with a live edition of Idaho Sports Talk. If you're near Boise State today, watch the show, have a happy hour of refreshments, and a big bite to eat. Gaze and Prater at the Tailgate Sports Bar off Capitol at the entrance to Ann Morrison Park. That's today, 3 to 6 on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Up next, free agency starts 10 o'clock by Monday. I bet you most of these guys will already have picked their teams. So we're going to try to guess that next on The Ticket. Michael Fisher is in the host chair today. How'd you like it?
It's great.
You're not going to go back to the JP
side,
are
you? No, we're going to make Bob sit over there when he comes back.
Bob, I give it to Bob. He knows a lot. I don't know if he knows how to run that board yet. He's been here quite a bit. JP's taught him quite a bit. But
I guarantee
know if he
you
knows
Bob
everything.
Does not know how to run this board.
Does anybody else really know how to run the board? I know Fish sits back there and tries to push some buttons, but
I pretend.
JP is the wizard.
I taught
on the board.
Fish about 30% of what I know.
Yeah. And about 110% about what he knows about fantasy golf since he came in last.
Oh, all right. I'll try to play the role of referee and try to navigate us off, because JP is going to sabotage the rest of the show if you continually bring up the fact that you schooled him in the one fantasy golf outing that you were able to compete in. He can't wait till the British Open when he can knock you off your little perch. NBA free agency starts at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, where all these guys can change teams and Woj bombs and Mark Stein reports and all these other things. Yeah, Woj is going to like ESPN now. You got even the guys who report the news are changing teams. So how do you expect all these other guys to remain with the team that they're at? I think your Pelicans fish have gotten this started by signing Drew Holiday.
I don't really count that. He was on the team already. I don't like articles. I was looking up articles today. I don't like teams that say, oh, yeah, this team spent $100 million, $95 million of which was re-signing their own player.
Yeah, but it's $31 million a year. If you would go with the ESPN report that says, yeah, Drew Holiday, $31 million a year, which puts him in the Mike Conley territory of point guards.
So NBA salary cap, $102 million this year?
Yeah.
$30 million for him. $30 million for DeMarcus Cousins next year. Eventually $30 million for Anthony Davis. $10 million to build the rest of the nine-man roster? Can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, you could go over the salary cap to sign Drew Holiday. Now, that's the thing. If you let him go, you'd only have, I think, $13 million to replace him.
Austin
so you can
Rivers.
Sign him for $31 million, but if you let him go, you'd only have $13 million free to spend outside of that. So you had to.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Holiday had you guys backed into a corner, all the leverage in the world. And now you have to make it work with DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and John Calipari. Trying to get him.
We need a couple more. Hopefully we can do a sign and trade. Holiday to the Knicks will take on Derrick Rose's contract. So then we can recruit Calipari over in. He'll have to start calling his mom, friends, family, daughter, and dog from Egypt to let them know.
The dog. John Calipari's dog. All right, Monday. We get here. It'll be a couple of days in free agency. And we're looking at the Boston Celtics. What will their team look like on Monday?
Look the exact same it looks like now.
They're not getting anything. They're not getting Hayward.
I don't think Hayward will have signed with the Celtics or at all by the time we get here Monday.
I think he has three meetings scheduled, and they probably begin as soon as free agency starts, which, again, tampering, apparently you're allowed to do it. Because how do you set up meetings if you're not allowed to talk to a guy? But Miami,
that's
Boston,
Sunday,
then Utah.
Monday. So we're not going to know. There's no way he can get Miami to Boston to Utah in 2 days.
Do we know for a fact that he's going to those places? I mean, he might just be having them come to him.
We don't.
Like
we don't.
The Hamptons or Kevin Durant. Just all you guys come to me. You know, I don't need to go nowhere. I enjoy life in the Hamptons. Y'all come to me. So I think he will have made a decision by, because most of these guys get it out the way. They don't want to have it drag on. Kevin Durant, July 4th in the afternoon, that's when he decided, which was within the first few days of free agency. This has to work out for the Celtics, right?
No, it doesn't at all.
Gordon Hayward fits the Celtics profile. Yes, read into it any way you want to read into it. But Gordon Hayward fits the classic Boston Celtics profile. They were cheering him to the dismay of Jay Crowder, who was a member of their team, who was pretty upset with the crowd cheering a member of the opposing team when Utah visited Boston this past season. There's too much smoke for that one to not be a fire. I really do feel like that's a connection. And if that's a connection and they're able to get Paul George, I'll finally lay off Danny Ainge, because he would have actually built something with the amount of resources that he has. So I think on Monday we'll be talking about a new threat in the NBA at the Celtics, the Cavaliers, and the Warriors, and then even the Rockets. Yes, the Chris Paul, James Harden, and they might be able to add on one more guy, whether it's somehow navigating for J.J. Redick, or maybe they can get a path for Andre Iguodala, that I think we'll be talking about. Maybe it isn't just a layup for the Golden State Warriors next year. Maybe there are other threats in the East and Western Conference.
Actually, I just changed my mind. He will be signed in Miami.
South Beach. This is not a bad one to pick. It's always a dark horse candidate.
I don't think he's going back to Utah at all. I think the Celtics will find a way to mess this up. I've talked about my hatred for how bad Danny Ainge has run this team in the past. I think he's going to Miami.
Pat Riley's going to put all of his rings on the table.
Gordon Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, Gordon Hayward.
It's not a very good team.
So they're not even going to contend?
I mean, there might be like a 5 seed in the East. They made the playoffs last year. They had a great second half of the year, but that's...
What about Deion Waiters?
Now, the thing with them is they would still have room for a max slot next year, and they could maybe add in...
LeBron,
DeMarcus Cousins.
No, don't say
Russell
that.
Russell Westbrook. Those are all guys who are free agents next year.
That'd be too... Please don't tell me Russell Westbrook would go to that team. That would be the hardest thing to watch.
Oklahoma City.
Three talented
so
players
upset.
As Russell Westbrook drives the basket continuously for 3 quarters.
I just would find the humor in James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant all leaving Oklahoma City in a 6-year span. That would be just incredible. All right, so Blake Griffin is the last really big name on this list of straight free agent, has the ability to sign anywhere. Same teams keep coming up, right? I think the Suns have actually a visit with him, but the Celtics, you have the Heat, the Lakers, do they want to position themselves by adding on the former Los Angeles guy to the other Los Angeles team?
I hope they learn from Timothy Mozgov what signing big man to really bad contracts does.
Makes you have to get rid of your early draft pick to get rid of him.
Ship Lonzo Ball to the Nets to get rid of his expiring contract.
I think the Suns are my secret team that I think on Monday they'll either have somebody like Blake Griffin. You might get LaMarcus Aldridge if the Spurs want to get rid of him so they can add in somebody. I think like the Phoenix Suns, for like the first time in forever, they'll actually have something worth actually projecting. Hey, they might be somebody who might be on TV once.
Are the Thunder out of Blake Griffin? I thought that was the whole he's going to return home to Oklahoma where he went to college. Or did that train leave while I was yelling at the Celtics still?
That doesn't seem like... You think Blake Griffin, after spending all that time in L.A., he wants to go to Oklahoma City? That just doesn't seem like a Blake Griffin type of move. He likes his State Farm commercials too much. So, yeah, those are the guys, the pieces who are on the board in NBA free agency. And I'm looking forward to turning on my phone alerts and them having nonstop tweets starting at 10 o'clock tonight.
Real quick, you can celebrate the 4th on the day, or are you going to celebrate it over the weekend?
I think we're going to celebrate it on the day, because to celebrate the 4th of July, I don't know. I think a prerequisite needs to be actually being the 4th of July. So, you know, I'll wait till Tuesday. We'll be back Monday and then Wednesday with Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.